귀여웠어.
데이비?
하이 다가.
안녕하세요.
모로이.
하이 다자하오.
사츠리아칼.
가모나츠.
코니치와.
나마스테.
G'day. Welcome to Western Sydney University. I'm Sid Sharma, and I've got things every student should know. Today, I'm going to help you find accommodation, a place to call home. You'll hear about the difference between off and on-campus living. You'll also learn about being a good roommate. So, let's get started. Here are five things every WSU student should know about accommodation.
첫 번째.
Hey.
뭐지?
Yep.
Ack.
Number one, how to find temporary accommodation. It's always a good idea to have your accommodation sorted before you arrive in Sydney. There are plenty of resources on the WSU website to help you figure out that part of your stay. But say that something goes wrong. What do you do? Who do you turn to? And where do you go? Well, I'm chatting to Pete Hilt from the course information team. You might remember him from episode one.
Hey there.
Pete, say that you arrive at Sydney Airport and your accommodation is cancelled or you haven't got anything booked. What do you do?
Yeah, sure. So, look, it's rare, but sometimes accommodation falls through or something like that. And we definitely support students in that circumstance. They can call our student central team and we can put them in touch with the University Village, who do short-term emergency accommodations for one or two nights, just to get people through to the start of term when they can sort out their actual accommodation.
And say you can't get in touch with the university or they're full, are there any other resources that you can turn to in your time of need?
Yeah, definitely. So Airbnb and Homestay, those kind of websites can organise things the day of. And other things that, like Hostel World, can find your hostels all over Sydney, really cheap prices, and they can book you in that night.
It's also a great way to meet locals living in Sydney and get to know the culture a little bit more as well.
Yeah, definitely, especially those dorm type accommodations with a communal bar. It's a great way to meet some people.
두 번째.
너.
이.
너희.
비리.
Number two, the difference between off-campus and on-campus living. Living on-campus or off-campus is a choice that's totally up to you and depends on what you want out of your accommodation. There are pros and cons to both living styles, and you're about to hear a couple now that should help guide you in your decision. Here's Mamoon, Olivia and Tarai.
Hi everyone, I'm Mamoon. I'm an international student from Bangladesh studying Bachelor of Accounting in my second year. I live on campus at Parramatta North.
Hi everyone, my name is Olivia and I am currently studying Master of Teaching. I used to live at Parra campus and also now I live with my family.
Hi, I'm Tarai. I am an international student from Zimbabwe. I'm currently studying my Master of Health Science and I live on the Parramatta Village.
Where did you first stay when you landed in Sydney? Where did you go?
So when the first time I came to Australia, I lived with the host family. So I was doing the language course. And the things I would like to mention about host family is there's no free airport pickup. You need to pay for it. And someone like a taxi driver will pick you up and send you directly from the airport to your host family.
And Tarai, tell me about your experience of where you first stayed when you landed in Sydney.
Oh, I came straight to the village. Got picked up from the airport by the free shuttle bus service, which is great.
As soon as I landed, the driver from the shuttle bus, he called me up straight away. He's like, where are you? Coming to find you.
So you came straight to the village, right?
Yeah. I came straight to the village, right? I was very excited. I was like, yay, village life, here we go.
Olivia, you have had an experience of living with a host family, living by yourself in student accommodation, and then living with your family as well. What are the differences in all three types?
So when I was doing the language course, I lived with a host family. It was a pretty good experience and we became friends and still keep in touch right now. And living with a host family means that someone can be there taking care of you. So your parents won't be worried too much about your life and your city. And then I moved to student accommodation because I want to be more independent. Living by yourself means that you need to cook for yourself, you need to pay all the rent, and you need to do your work by yourself as well. So after that, I graduated from my bachelor's, so I moved back with my family. And I feel like I prefer the life I live by myself because family is always being too here. Yeah. About you.
It's the independence, of course. Yeah. Who doesn't love that, right? Being an adult.
Yeah.
Tell me, Tarai, what is your on-campus student accommodation experience like?
Okay, so mine's been pretty great. I'm going to say I'm blessed to have great housemates as well. I've heard some horror stories. But I feel like when you get to live with really nice people, you enjoy it a bit more. And it's a great chance to meet so many different people from so many nationalities.
And what is the accommodation itself like?
It's pretty decent. I think we have a lot of space compared to what I thought it would be like. Obviously, it's not like home, so don't ever think of it like it's going to be like your bedroom at home. But it is very spacious, and everybody has their own privacy, so it's pretty great.
And I guess you've decorated your rooms and stuff to make it.
Absolutely. You have to make it a bit like home, right?
Yeah. So, guys, is there anything that you don't like about living on campus?
Possibly. Okay. So, as with student accommodation, I think you find it sometimes it can be a bit noisy. If you're not somebody who likes noise. But that's something you have to sort of learn to compromise about or live with, because they do have rules where up till a certain time, people can have like much like parties and stuff like that. But after that, you have to keep it down, which is pretty great. So, and they really keep to that. So I found that it's okay.
Otherwise, you'd call an RA.
Yeah. That's the...
What about you, Olivia?
Like to me, I hate cooking, because one time my roommate just set off the fire alarm and it cost her like $1,000. That's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
No,
yeah.
Did you all have to evacuate?
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole building.
Yeah, there's a few of those.
So have any of you got friends that live off campus?
Yes.
And say, Tarai, your friends who live off campus, how has their experience been different to yours?
Okay, so for them, they are living with their families. So there's that family factor. Whereas if you're in the student village, you're there by yourself. It's more independent, I think. So for them, it's more like I've seen how much more they probably struggle when their parents are not there or are away visiting. Whereas for me, it's something that I've gotten used to, like, yeah, you're there on your own and you're getting to meet new people and you have to create like a family.
What about friends who, say, live by themselves off campus and share accommodation?
They feel like very lonely. They call me up and like, bro, can you come over? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll come over. What's up? I'm like, bro, I've been feeling a bit down lately, living on my own. You just got to do that for them.
So tell me a little bit more about the actual accommodation itself. How many people can live in one of these student accommodations?
You can start with a studio apartment. You can live on your own, and it can go up to eight bedroom apartments. That's, I guess, the maximum.
So it depends on your own personal preference.
Personal preference, yes.
And so, Mamoun, how many people do you live with?
I live with 5 people, including myself as well. They're all boys, so there.
And how much do you pay a week for?
I pay 238. Per week?
I'm paying $225 a week.
Yeah, I think. That sounds about right.
But it depends on like the contract you take as well. Mm-hmm. I have a year contract, so it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. 6 months would be around, I think, $10 more.
One of the big factors in choosing whether to live on or off campus is price. Which brings us to...
Sam.
Din.
Se bonje.
Din.
Tattoo.
Number 3. On-campus living has its benefits. So the amount that you pay every week, does this cover everything, or do you have to pay for your electricity and Wi-Fi and bills on top of that?
It covers everything. Utilities are included in that.
Wow, that's actually a really great deal.
It is.
It is.
It really is.
Living on campus means that you're close by, but not exactly in the middle of the Parramatta CBD. How easy is it to get around from campus?
It's very easy. So there's a shuttle bus that goes around every day from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., I believe. And wait time is generally around 10 to 15 minutes. So it's very easy. You wake up, you're like, I'm late for class. I gotta go. And like, you go to the shuttle bus stop and shuttle bus shows up and like, that was easy.
Say on the weekends, you want to travel to the harbor to go and, you know, see the sights. Is it easy to get around from here to places outside of the Parramatta area?
I think it's easy to get around cheaply. So during weekends, if you want to hang out with your friends in the city, you can always catch a shuttle bus to the train station or maybe catch a bus to the city. And it costs you maybe $10 per day. And on Sundays, is like $2.50. So it's pretty cheap.
So during the week, when you are actually on campus, you're probably not spending that much on transport.
Nothing at all.
Not a dollar.
So guys, living in the shared accommodation on campus, what are some of the other facilities that you can take advantage of?
There's a large pool that is like one of the best things ever, and a barbecue area. Inside, there's a common room, a lounge area where you can play pool, table tennis, watch movies, play board games, have a lot of fun, actually. And let's not forget about the lovely RAs who answer every question you have, regardless of how stupid they may be.
Yeah.
So what exactly is an RA?
A resident assistant. They're basically students who still work, who work for the village. They assist you in any way they can.
The RAs are kind of like your big brothers and sisters when you live on campus.
They're like our guardian angels, more likely.
So you live on campus. There are definitely going to be social events going on all the time, right?
Like the regular stuff is probably Wednesday barbecues. There's like a barbecue every Wednesday. Chaplaincy. Oh, yeah. Chaplaincy and Red Frogs, they alternate and they host like the barbecue service on Wednesdays. And generally, the RAs we're talking about, all of them have to do an event a month for us. So,
and let's not forget about the free Sunday breakfast.
Oh, yeah. True. That too.
And usually students will have their own parties in their apartments.
It sounds like you've got experience with that. Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the parties.
There are students mostly like from other countries. They're on exchange or maybe like as we are international students. So we just get together and have a few drinks and just chill for the night. It's pretty cool.
And it's a great way to get to meet other people who live in the village.
Yeah.
China.
Jar.
네 번째.
Jar.
Say.
Number 4. Where and how to find accommodation off campus. There are a fair few places that you can go to find accommodation in Western Sydney. If you're just looking for a room in a share house or an apartment, check out websites such as roomster.com or flatmates.com. You can also try Facebook groups such as Parramatta Area Housemates or Western Sydney Rentals. If you've got a group of friends that you want to live with, try realestate.com or domain.com. Just make sure that you can sign a lease. Leo Patterson-Ross is from the Tenants Union of New South Wales. I spoke to him to find out a little bit more about things you should look out for if you're renting in Sydney. What exactly would a new student need in even signing a lease? Like, would they need a bank account? Would they need to provide paychecks or, you know, that kind of thing as well?
For the legal process, all you need is that agreement between the two parties. But renting in New South Wales, in Australia, generally is a competitive process. People are put up against other tenants and then the landlord picks the best one that, under their opinion for that property. And so because of that, you often do need to be able to show your ID, you do need to be able to show your bank account so that you can show that you can afford to pay the rent.
Ah, okay, right. So it's not necessary, but it's best to have that kind of stuff available. I've also heard a lot about subletting. Like, I know a lot of Facebook posts and whatnot, they mention the concept of subletting. What exactly is it? Or like, can you explain that for me?
Yeah. And it is increasingly how particularly students house themselves, because most people can't afford the place by themselves. So subletting is essentially where one tenant already has a lease to the place and then they have someone else move in on a lease under them. So there's two leases, one with the landlord to what now becomes the head tenant and one between the head tenant and the subtenant. And these are residential tenancy agreements so long as it's in writing. If it's not in writing, then you aren't a tenant and you aren't covered by the Residential Tenancy Act in the same way. You still have a contract and you still have some rights underneath that, but it's much less clear what those rights and obligations are.
Say I want to go and find a new place. What do I look out for at an inspection of a house or an apartment?
So I think it's really useful to make a list of what you need before you go visiting places. So if you really need a spare study room, if you really need aircon, which I really recommend in Western Sydney, if you need a garden space or a balcony space, you know, make this list in your mind before you go out looking to decide what's important to you, and then go look, you know, on the websites and so on for the places that meet that criteria.
So when you've decided what you like, you decided what you need out of a place, whether it's a house, an apartment, air conditioning, study room. So what do you look out for when you're actually there at the inspection? Say you've made it now, what do you do? Because there are all those like glossy real estate people there, right? I'm trying to just get you through there as quickly as possible.
Exactly. So you smile and make friends with the real estate agent. Sometimes they're very uninterested because they're usually the lowest paid, frankly, and most junior people in the real estate agency office are the ones doing the inspections. So do try and be friendly to them. But when you're walking through the place, checking for things which might, you know, have looked good in the ad. Some of the photography tricks make rooms look a lot bigger than they are. So getting a sense of the actual size, trying to picture where your furniture would go. I think as well, going around and kind of paying attention to the PowerPoints, looking to make sure that the PowerPoints are in sensible locations. Otherwise, you know, you're going to end up with your bed or your table in some weird spot because that's the only place that the PowerPoints sit. Internet connections, phone connections, these kind of things. I think as well, looking for signs of damage, particularly signs of things like water damage and mold, they can be hidden. You know, they might be at the back of a wardrobe, they might be behind the drawers, you know, so just opening things up, particularly if it's completely empty, to make sure that there's nothing hidden behind.
I know mold is a really big one. I was reading an article just last week about how big of a problem it is in so many Sydney rental properties. So that's a really good tip. Well, I mean, are there any red flags that say you would look out for when you're at an inspection?
I think, you know, funny smells, dampness anywhere, particularly if there is a carpet. Looking at how well, particularly if it's an apartment block, how well it's been maintained around, you know, the bins, things like that.
I want to know a little bit more about bills. And yeah, what exactly are you paying for when you're paying bills? And how much are you looking to pay every week?
The main thing that you're paying for is the rent. And the rent covers essentially your right to stay in the premises. It can include everything from bills and utilities and internet, or it can just be the right to stay. So that's something to be very clear on when you're moving in, of what does the rent actually include. The Resident Tenancy Act dictates what other things can be charged. So that's why utilities have to have a separate meter, because the Residential Tenancy Act says that's the case. For other things like internet, it's actually not defined who should pay. The way that things are set up is that someone who controls the house, someone who controls the phone line or the cable line, pays for it, and then you work out how to split the bill if you're in a share house sort of situation.
Can you explain some of the traps that, say, a lot of students who are coming from overseas fall into? I mean, I know that there've been, you know, a couple in the recent years that we've tried to crack down on, but especially like, you know, cramming people into share houses, getting them to pay like, you know, hundreds of dollars of rent a week and not even having space to move around. Mm.
So I think that there is a general rule people should be aware of, that there's usually only two adults per bedroom. So that is something to be aware of. If it's more than two, you're almost certainly in an unlawful dwelling, and that often will be a lot cheaper, but it also means that a lot of other things will probably be done dodgily, and you may be in some danger of the council eventually coming in and saying, well, everyone has to get out. I think that some of the most common sort of traps that people fall into is understanding the real estate agent's role. Real estate agents are contracted by the landlord to work for the landlord. They're not a middle ground person. They're not, you know, sort of a mediator between landlords and tenants. They are on the landlord's side. And so that's not a problem, so long as you understand that. Some people will go to the agent asking for advice or asking, well, what should I do here? The agents have to protect the landlord's interests. That's their contract. So they may not give you the best advice because they can't lie, they can't break the law, but they can say what the landlord would prefer rather than what the tenant might prefer.
Just a final question for you.
Yep.
Say something does go wrong. Say there's a dispute over a bond or over rent or something. And as a student, you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go to help, for help. What happens? Like, where can you find those resources? Where can you find help?
Yeah. So as well as the online websites like tenants.org.au, often unis will have welfare officers that you can go and talk to in person as an initial starting point. On tenants.org.au, there's all the contact details for the local tenants advice and advocacy services. You can go to them, you can get advice from them. In extreme cases, you might be able to get representation at the place that ultimately resolves disputes for tenants is the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal. And there are other community services. So there's community legal centres. Redfern Legal Centre have a specialist international student solicitor who can help with housing issues as well as any other sort of legal issue that an international student has. So they cover the whole state, even though they're based in Redfern, and they are a good place to sort of get a broad kind of level of assistance as well.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome, Leo. Man, you are such an expert on all things to do with rental rights and beyond. So, hey, thanks so much for chatting.
No, you're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Whether it's on campus or off campus, chances are that you'll be living with a couple of other people. So the final thing you need to know is...
다섯 번째.
번째.
샨.
Number 5. How to be a top housemate. We also went back to Mamoon, Olivia and Tarai on this to see what they thought about sharehouse etiquette. So when you live with other people, surely there are some rules and expectations that you have of each other, right? Tell me a little bit more about the sharehouse etiquette that you guys abide by.
Respect. Just respect other people's space, other people's stuff. And ask if it's not yours, just ask. It's just common courtesy here.
Yeah, and you need to clean up the things that the mess you make. So, for example, if you cook, you got to wash all your dishes on time.
Before you even start staying at the village, there's a mandatory online module which you have to complete, and it is very serious. If you do not complete that, you will not be allowed to stay at the village.
And what are some of the things that that module comprises of?
Illicit drug usage, harassment, and obviously respect.
Not always.
Yes, that's what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you look for exactly in a good roommate?
A person who is respectful and who respects you. That is first and foremost, and preferably tidiness. That's the most important thing.
Oh yeah, I agree with that, and also because we are students. Most of us, I think, and at night we usually need to study, so I would say maybe keep quiet.
Yeah, I agree with both of them. I think on the other side as well, maybe it's just me, I like to meet people coming from different backgrounds, like completely like shocking in a way. Like, I feel like it helps me grow as well, like improve on my qualities as well. Like, I've learned a lot of patience. I've learned to compromise a lot more than I used to, probably, because you realize not everybody is the same as you. You cannot have duplicates of you as housemates, unfortunately. But it's still great, I think. Respect is top, like the first thing, I think, just respect each other.
And that's the thing about university. It's not just about learning new things academically. It's also about growing as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe and check out the other episodes. If you have any more questions, head to westernsydney.edu.au. I'm Sid Sharma. See you soon.